going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, for those who didn't and missed the first hour, you can rewind, but I'll explain it. Evan Roberts, for the last 2 months, has been saying, and I think his brain is, I don't know, off kilter or something, that the New York Giants at number 3 were going to take Shedeur Sanders. Well, a couple days ago, I just got fed up with it. I said, Evan, stop saying it. I'm so pissed off at you for saying that. I don't want Shedeur Sanders. I'd rather have Jackson Dart, which the Giants ultimately took. So if you keep saying it, there's going to be a penalty. He kept saying it. So I banned him. I said, look, we're going to do a deal. If this doesn't happen, I get to make a show decision. The show decision was I banned Evan Roberts, and he came begging back. Started writing. I didn't answer him. I wouldn't answer his text messages, but he got to me through Sean.
I'm a baby.
Crying and whining. I got to talk about the Jets. I got to talk about Mimbu.
Hat in hand, somebody
said. Hat in hand. Now he's humbled, and I guess I'll let him back in. Heaven, welcome back to the show.
I have been humbled, Tiki. I did not ever think that you would make me stay home, like basically put me in detention.
Yes. I forgot to tell everybody. He's not even here.
Wouldn't even let me in.
I wouldn't let him come to the studio.
He told me. He's like, you're not even allowed in. I'm like, this is freaking ridiculous. And you know what? Here's what I will tell you, Tiki. I will tell you this. I was wrong. Okay, I'll own it. I was dead wrong about Shedeur Sanders.
You hear that, Giant fans?
I was wrong. But I think everyone else was wrong, too.
What are you talking about?
I think that this is a mistake. And I think when we're sitting here 5 years from now, hopefully, or 8 years from now, we will think back and say, how did everyone pass on Shedeur Sanders?
Oh, you're talking about Shedeur. I thought you were trolling the Giant fans and saying, no. Jackson Dart's going to be a bust.
You know what, Teek? I thought about this all night. Okay, because first of all, I owe a lot of apologies. I owe an apology to the New York Giants. I said to you yesterday when we were at American Dream, I didn't believe any of these rumors. I didn't believe the Jackson Dart love. I thought it was all misdirection. I thought they were going to draft Shedeur. I didn't think they were going to draft Abdul. Like, all those things turned out to be true.
Right.
And so,
by the way, how about Carson Shane just totally leaking the Giants' plan? We haven't even addressed that yet.
How funny is that? Like, I'm stunned by that. I admit it. Like, I didn't think that his son, when he went out there and was putting videos up of his sister's, friend at Ole Miss, that it was actually going to lead to the, even to the point when they got to 25, Teak, I'm sitting there and I'm like, they're going to announce Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
And I'm going to at least get like a half a victory because you'll end up with the player even if you didn't take him where I thought you'd take him.
Right.
So I'm dead wrong. And hat in hand, I'll say this to you, Teak. I have no idea what Jackson Dart is. I really don't.
No.
I can't rip him. I'm also not going to wax poetic about him. I don't know.
He's a project. And look, and we said this earlier, Ev, if you really believe that that Brian Daboll has this ability to craft quarterbacks like he did Josh Allen, you're going to get to see it.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
That's all you can say, because I have no idea either what he's going to ultimately turn out to be, but I know that it's a good situation for him because he doesn't have to go play right away. He's not being handed the job like like Zach Wilson was. He's going to earn it at some point down the line, whether that's later this year or in the following years.
And if he's not a very good player at the NFL level, it's on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And 100%. They'll probably be long gone. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, whether it's trolling or pumping Giant fans up to say, I know what Jackson Dart is. I don't have a strong opinion.
Right.
But I'll tell you what I do have a strong opinion about. And if you want to take this as trolling, God bless you. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. I do. And I think that the Giants may have made a mistake, assuming Dart isn't better than Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah,
and
but
I admit,
so, but so did
I don't know what he is.
But then so did the Saints, and so did
yes.
the Steelers, and
yes.
whoever else passed.
Oh, Teek. The Pittsburgh Steelers screwed up. I'm not going to say that about the Browns, because if I had to make another Evan Roberts' brain is reporting, the Browns are taking Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because Tiki, if they don't take him and they got two cracks at him, if they don't take him, I want him drafted by the New York Jets.
Really?
Here,
just
absolutely.
As a project?
I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is a lottery ticket. He's going to get this crack this year. We'll see what he is. And if he's sitting there in the set, and I don't think he will be, because
right.
I'd be mortified if the Browns pass on him twice.
Right.
But I believe in Shedeur. And that was my point over the last 3.5 months. Now, obviously, everyone disagrees with me. Now, we'll find out who's right. Because I really think, for a lot of the reasons we talked about over the last few days and last few weeks, I think he's going to be really good at the next level. And by the way, I've been monitoring this radio show. That Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey is spot on. You deserve an L because you said he wasn't dropping out of the first round.
Well, I had no idea. It's just, the problem is I didn't really look at the first round after 10 because we started talking. He's not going to go below 10. This is going to happen. Someone's going to come back in. The Saints are sitting there at 9. Why the heck are they taking an offensive tackle when they don't have a quarterback that's healthy right now? Like, you just felt like there was teams that needed a quarterback that would take him. The Jets is for one. Obviously, the Jets did what we thought they would do. They went. And we'll see. It's core, right? They went core drafting, which I think was smart for them. But I didn't think once he got past the Saints and then the next team would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was like, dude, after a while, you realize he's not going in the first round.
I think that the New Orleans Saints and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to regret this. Mm. And I hope for your sake that you guys don't regret this. Because, again, I don't know what the heck Jackson Dart is. I'm not going to freak out that he was born in the state of Utah. I'm not going to freak out that he's got connections to Eli Manning. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd be lying to you. I'm not going to sit here and pretend. I have no idea.
The reason that we're okay with it is because it wasn't the third pick. It wasn't like, hey, we reached on a quarterback. They took a generational type player in Abdul Carter. And then they gave up basically two third-rounders, Evan. A compensatory third-rounder from this year, and then a third-rounder from next year to go back up and take a chance. To me, that is worth it. Like, even if it doesn't work out, it's not like you gave up next year's first-rounder like the Rams did. Or
I agree.
Like the Falcons did to the Rams.
I agree. And I also think the other thing that would pump me up, if I'm a Giant fan, that's why if I was a Giant fan, would I be excited today? I absolutely would be. Because I've got hope in a young quarterback who's not going to be rushed to play.
Yep.
I got one of the best defensive players, at least on paper, in the draft. Again, these guys have to perform. And so in theory, because the players have to be good. That's like the other thing that's kind of important.
Right.
In theory, the Giants aced day one. They ended up with one of the best players on the board, and they ended up with a future quarterback that they get to mold without the pressure of playing him right away.
Yes.
And that's why I agree with every Giant fan who calls in today or tweets out or says to their friend, hey, I've got hope for the future.
Right.
All I'm saying is my novice eyes, and I admit they're novice eyes, believe that Shedeur Sanders is going to be a really good quarterback in this league, and the New York Giants numerous times decided that they disagree with me and others because they didn't take him at 3 fine.
Mm-hmm.
They trade back up into the first round where they could have taken him, and they didn't. So they believe in Jackson Dart, and maybe a part of what they like about Jackson, you tell me if I'm wrong about this, Teek, is that pressure of playing him doesn't exist. While I think if it was Sanders, there would be more of a pressure to play him.
Yeah, I think you're right about that because there was so much hype and expectation, as well as, let's give him credit, performance, right? Both at Jackson State and at Colorado, where it's like he's got to play, right? He's not a developmental prospect. We've seen him at a low level at Jackson State, at a high level at Colorado. perform. We want to see him play. We don't want to see him sit and develop. So I think you're right about that. And I think the circumstance that Jackson Dart finds himself in, sitting behind Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, we already talked about this yesterday. Russell's here for a year. Jameis is here for two, basically just to groom. That it's ideal because he doesn't have to be forced to play right away. Now, if he goes in camp and he's awesome and he just, I don't know, Russell Wilson's Russell Wilson, like he did, I forget the kid's name, from in, out in Seattle. But if he does that.
Was it Matt Flynn they signed?
Right.
Yeah.
If he Russell Wilson's Russell Wilson, like Russell Wilson did Matt Flynn, then you know what? Good for him. And I think good for everybody. But he's in a good spot. And because they only gave up a compensatory third this year and next year's third, I am completely okay with not the lost opportunity on whoever the Giants would have taken in the as the second pick in the second round.
I also want to thank you, Tiki Barber,
because as
you banned me from the first hour of this show, I had to make an Evan decision. You made a show decision. I made an Evan decision.
And your Evan decision was?
The Evan decision was, screw everyone, I'm just going to take the day off now. Okay, I'm out. I'm going to go party. I'm going to go do, maybe I'll go drive to Washington to see Mets Nationals. Or
you
I'm going to
that.
Sit
That's
here.
It's easy. It's only 3 hours.
I was thinking about it. But then I'm like, nah. I'm going to wait bated breath until Tiki, who is such a nice human being to his core, when he unbans me and allows me to join the fun conversation, talking about the Giants, talking about the Jets, which I can't wait to get into, talking about the rest of the NFL draft, and of course, paying respect to a man who earned all of our respect last night.
Let's go Knicks.
To a man who heard the voices
Let's
in
go
his
Knicks.
Head. A man who listened to me. He listened to JR in Somerville. He listened to Tommy Lugauer. We pay homage to the great Carl Anthony Towns.
Let's go Knicks.
Who delivered last night.
I can't quite do that because he was 9 points short of making Sean a rich man.
So close. That's right. You bet the 40 plus
right.
for Cat.
But as soon as they were in the lead, I was like, damn it, it's not happening. If they were down, I could have seen it happening. But they had the lead. When they went up 102, what was it, 91? I was like, yeah, he's not getting there.
We do have to get into the one of what could have been the craziest, most screwed up ending in the history of basketball. We came this close to it. So
that felt like home cooking, man.
No, well, I'll explain why it wasn't.
But it felt like it.
I get you. So we got a lot to get to. Let's get back to your happy Giant calls, because that's my vibe. Giant fans are happy. They're in a very good mood today. There's a new hope. Chris is calling from Bayshore. How are you on this fine Friday, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
What's up, man?
Listen, Nicky, if I were you, you...
Hold on, Chris.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There we go. Now we have Chris from Tinton Falls. There we go. My bad.
Oh, look at that. That's all right. Evan.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, buddy. I was hoping you were banned and you were going to do like a 90210 channel. I was all ready to start like talking with you offline about it.
Oh, that would have been fun. That would have been a good alternate broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, guys,
Rico.
I got to admit, I am super excited about this. I love they didn't overthink Abdul Carter. It's amazing to me. They got Abdul Carter, and we're talking Jackson Dart right now, right? I mean, that shows what a good night it is for them.
Yeah.
And
well, I think we know who Abdul Carter is going to be. Jackson Dart?
No doubt.
It's more the question mark. We don't really know yet.
No, that's exactly it, though, right, Tiki? That's when you know you had a good day. When you can say, we got that one. And you guys were bringing it up earlier. I said earlier in the week I wanted Milroe because I didn't think they could get Dart.
Right.
I was like, wow. And now you guys talked about, like, now you see an identity. I was tough on this regime. I see it now. You got a guy like Drew Phillips, who's such a secondary, but he's tough.
Right.
He's a hitter. That's like a Mark Collins in the secondary, an Antrell role. I like what they're doing, and I've been as rough on these guys as anybody. I got to eat a little duty right now. I like what they're doing.
Yeah, I hear you. Appreciate your call, Chris. And Evan, that's what we are talking about. And more than anything, the Abdul Carter draft tells you the identity, at least the hopeful identity for the New York Giants. They're going to have a kick-ass pass rush. Their secondary is more shored up than it has been, and they're going to win defense first. And obviously they have some playmakers on offense. Tyrone Tracy, who was great and gracious enough to come by the set at the American Dream yesterday. But also, obviously, they have, you know, one of the best wide receivers in football, Malik Nabers. So if they can get one of these quarterbacks to just be steady, who knows what this team could be? So at least the plan looks obvious.
Right, and that leads in to a question we've been asking for 4 months, which is what would have to happen for these guys to keep their job?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, things sort of changed last night in terms of how I would view the owner of the Giants being in a good mood and being hopeful for the future.
Right.
And here's how I view it. You tell me if you agree. Obviously, you win a lot of games, they keep their jobs. That's right. Obvious. That's easy.
And that's going to be hard because the NFC East is tough.
No doubt.
The AFC West is tough. And yep. The NFC North is tough. That's all of who they have.
So the idea that they're going to win a lot of games, despite building this identity, is still going to be a long shot.
Yes.
But how could I go into the offseason if I'm an IFO or if I'm John Mara saying I feel good about this administration? Here's how I would view it now. If I look at this identity that they're building and I feel really good about it, and even though I only won 5 or 6 games and the quarterback play was average because Russell Wilson is washed, a wise man once told me that.
Yeah, that would be me.
But I feel good about the identity they built. I feel good about Jackson Dart, who may not have even played in 2025, but I feel good about the learning and the learning tree he was under. And so even if the Giants win 5 or 6 games, if I feel good about the identity they built on defense, if Kayvon Thibodeau has a big year, and it is a big year for him, even with the 50-year option picked up, and Abdul Carter's Defensive Player of the Year, and they are rushing the quarterback, and they are scaring teams, and they're competing, even if losing to a team like Philadelphia or a team like Washington, then I would look at this administration and say, you know what? Keep going.
Yeah.
I believe in you guys. And I think that's how, if the identity continues to build, and I have hope about the young quarterback, that's at least how I would view this administration and say, yeah, bring him back for another year. Let's keep going.
Yeah, they could lose a bunch of games, but they lose because they just can't score enough points. That's kind of, we feel good about the defense. Now, if we only get our offense clicking, then who knows what's going to happen. By the way, I was just looking at I forgot that the Cleveland draft, because of the trade they did, they have two of the top four picks. So, Evan, you're absolutely right. If they don't take Shedeur Sanders, and it's likely to be with the second of their picks, second of their second round picks, because they draft first in the second round, then Tennessee, then Houston Texans, and then Tennessee, and the Browns are back again. So I think they're probably going to take a corner at 33, and then
Johnson maybe.
Probably Will Johnson, who a lot of people thought was going to go in the first round.
His medicals last night.
That was the big thing they were talking about, but it's still worth a second round pick, right? So Will Johnson, and then likely Shedeur Sanders with 36.
Well, I'm telling you right now, okay? And I'm not predicting anything. I'm telling you my opinion, because those two things are completely different. I wanted Tyler Warren last night. We'll get more of that a little bit later on. That's what I wanted. I didn't get what I wanted.
Nope.
It's okay. If the Cleveland Browns F around and they don't take Shedeur Sanders with their first, second round pick, who picks right after them? You said the Houston Texans?
Houston Texans. They're not taking a quarterback, obviously.
Oh, okay. Well, guess who's on the telephone? Me, if I'm Darren Mooji.
I hear you.
And I try to get up ahead of Cleveland and take Shedeur Sanders, because what I've said about Shedeur is I believe in him. Now, we'll all find out if we're right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometimes as a novice college football fan, I'm like a blind squirrel. I thought Lamar Jackson was great, but I also thought Jamarcus Russell was great. So I admit it's a complete, like for all of us, Mel Kiper Jr., me, you don't know.
It is an absolute crapshoot.
But I like Shedeur Sanders, and I'm a man of my word.
Yeah.
And if the Browns F around, if I'm Darren Mooji, I make him pay.
Right. And by the way,
because I would jump ahead and go draft him.
So Tennessee is right there as well. So it's Browns, Texans, Titans. Neither of those two teams need a quarterback. So you could theoretically get there, because right after the Browns a second time is the Raiders.
Right.
And they're likely, if he's still sitting there, to take
it. Yeah. Yeah. So the Jets are not, like, to my fellow Jet fans, and I don't know how many actually want Shedeur Sanders, would look at him and say, hey, bring him in. Because the reason I want to bring him in is I like the idea of Justin Fields, and I want to give him a shot in this offense. But they're going to have to find a franchise quarterback in all likelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Because the odds are Justin Fields isn't the answer.
Right.
I hope he is, but the odds are that he's not. So if you have a guy falling to you, go do it. But the problem is he's not falling to the Jets.
No.
He's not falling to their second round pick. He's fallen to the point, though, Teak, where they can trade up, like I just mentioned,
right,
and gobble him at the early part of the second round.
No, and it makes sense. But Cleveland, I think you're right. Cleveland likely is the destination. Because right now they have a injured and not going to play Deshaun Watson. They have an aged, and I guess he still thinks he can play, even though who knows how long that's going to last, Joe Flacco. And then Kenny Pickett,
right?
Yeah. Is that exciting quarterback room for you?
Little spoiler alert, I think they're not taking Shedeur Sanders with any of those two picks. I think they loaded up that ammo to have two firsts next year because they want their real eggs in a basket for next year.
Yeah, but
this is what I think they'll do, though.
Okay, but think about now if you're Kevin
Stefanski. Yeah.
Stefanski, you're Kevin Stefanski. You're likely to get fired. If you suck again and you don't have something that gives people hope going forward, it's like, all right, don't take Shedeur, but I know I'm getting fired, and somebody else is going to come in next year and take a quarterback in 2026. It's a hard position to put your head coach in. It really is.
I think, though, they're going to do quarterback. I just think they're going to go Jalen Milroe and not deal with the pomp and
circumstance
of Shedeur Sanders.
By the way, that's a possibility. And, you know, you guys said something in the first hour while I was in detention. It was kind of joking, like, who really cares about Shedeur Sanders? You're right from a Giant perspective, but this has now become, in my opinion, a Jet story. Because now, I'm just one guy. I don't represent everyone. I know Beningo agrees with me, I'll tell you that. I now look at Shedeur and say, I want him. I'm interested in him. If he's going to fall to me with my second round pick, which I'm skeptical of, or as Sean points out, the Browns are going to take a different quarterback, maybe Jalen Milroe, my opinion on Shedeur Sanders isn't changing just because every other general manager decided to pass on him. Like, I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league. And I think that even if Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji didn't plan on taking a quarterback in the first two rounds, I think this draft board should change the circumstances, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, but hold on a second, Evan. Glenn and Moogie, they basically wanted nothing
to do.
They wanted nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers and the circus that came with Aaron Rodgers. There is, like it or not, a circus that comes with Shedeur Sanders. So
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think it's overblown. Am I wrong?
We just know how his demeanor is, and we've seen the cameras that have been following him and his father this whole time. You heard Deion even say, and whatever weight you want to put in this is up to you, that he wants to coach in the NFL at some point. He wants to coach his kid. So I don't know if that's a threat to whoever drafts him, but it might be, especially if Deion, over the next couple of years, starts winning at Colorado and becomes desirable as an NFL head coach. Now, again, long shots. But it's not an impossibility. You know what I mean?
I think if you have enough confidence in your coaching ability, you bring in the talent. And I think this guy is a first-round talent who's fallen into the second round.
Definitely.
Maybe because of what Tommy said. Maybe it has something to do with the perception of his father and the circus that follows it. But honestly, I listen to this guy talk. I don't think he's a problem at all. I think he's a confident guy. I think a lot of guys are confident. Abdul Carter's confident.
All right.
He's talking about taking LT's number.
Yes,
I mean,
but Abdul Carter is not the face of your franchise.
I get it.
That's the difference.
But maybe this experience is also going to humble him. Because now everybody's passed on him. He's going to be taken by somebody eventually. And you tell him, hey, look, you're going to sit until you prove otherwise. And I also love the idea. I remember hearing these stories about Aaron Rodgers, the story about Dan Marino, the story, Boomer Esiason, the story of the quarterback who's got that freaking chip on their shoulder because everyone disrespected
him. Right.
And let's face it, everyone's disrespected Shedeur Sanders. And in the cases of the guys I just mentioned, they had pretty good careers.
Mm-hmm.
But
they were all first rounders, though.
I know, but they fell.
I know.
I get it.
Aaron Rodgers fell.
Yes. Aaron's a great example. Let's go to Scott calling from Jackson, New Jersey. How are you today, Scott?
What up, Scott?
I'm good. And listen, as a Jet fan, I really don't watch Shedeur Sanders. But as an avid college fan, and I watched a lot of Shedeur's games last year, he built those stats at Jackson State and Colorado, which were both defense optional leagues. How good is he really?
Yeah.
So how... Big 12 quarterbacks don't do very well in the NFL.
I mean, it's a good observation, and I think it's one of the – you could say it almost about anybody.
They're college quarterbacks.
But forget – I'm not even talking about quarterbacks. I'm talking about everybody.
Yeah, you're right.
Go look at Aston Jinchy. How the heck do you rush for 2,600 yards in a season? That seems impossible. Ron Dayne was one of the best running backs and college running backs we have ever, ever, ever seen. He never even got close to 2,600 yards. So, like, a lot of it is just the competition. Defense was optional. Guys in the open field just didn't want to tackle the kid. So, college is really hard to evaluate. I think it's starting to translate a little bit to the NFL because of what quarterbacks are being asked to do now, but it is not close to the same game at all.
But to your point, you can say that about anybody.
No doubt. That's what I mean. You can say it about quarterbacks. You can say about linemen. You know what I mean? You can say about certainly, you know, wide receivers who are playing against, you know, 5'8 DBs and they're 6'4. Of course you're going to have, 120 yards a game.
No, you're right. You're right. Look, I think that most Jet fans are going to be like, screw it. We don't want to deal with it. And maybe it's part of what Tom even brought up about this idea that there's going to be a circus around him. I want a quarterback. Giant fans want a quarterback. You now have one that for the next few years, we're going to overanalyze everything they do.
Well, hopefully we won't have to as a player for a little bit.
Right. It's going to take, as a player, it may take a year.
Right.
More from Giant fans, 888-808-1019. And I want to give you my thoughts on what the Jets did last night, because I had a wide range of emotions when they made their decision. Knicks talk to get to. The Mets made a very interesting decision. The Yankees play at home tonight. Ton to get to. Evan and Tiki on this post-round one draft Friday. And what a Friday it is. The Mets are back in action. The Yankees are back in action. The New York Giants found what they hope is their future quarterback last night and future legendary defensive player. And then you have the New York Jets. And I'll walk you through my emotions, Tiki, and tell me if I was being reasonable here.
Yes.
This is not about what I or anyone thought would happen. Because the reality about drafts is what we think is happening is just based on what we're told by people.
Right.
Like what's reported.
Right. Insiders or those that are trying to leak or have some other alternative agenda.
Right. Like, oh, I knew they were going to draft Membu. Yeah, you knew it because you were told that for the last 3 weeks. My opinion, and that's all it was I wanted Tyler Warren. And we went through the reasons why. I think he can be a really special tight end at this level. He can play quarterback for a play here and there. You can line him up as running back. He's an excellent blocker. He has a chance to be one of those really special, impactful tight ends. And so last year, I was the complete opposite. When the Jets were on the clock, I was big on, I want an offensive lineman. I know it's boring and it's dull, but it's really, really important. Mm-hmm. And last year, I got what I wanted. They drafted Olu Fashanu. I think most of us, even the Brock Bowers supporters, have come around to say Bowers is an excellent player, but the Jets got it right. This year, I was the opposite. I wanted Tyler Warren. When Roger Goodell opened up his mouth and he said the name Armand Membu, my reaction was disappointment.
Really?
And because I wanted Tyler Warren for the reasons I gave.
But he's such a solid build the ass first, as I always say.
You're right.
New regime, like tone setter.
You're right.
I thought it was actually smart.
Well, I'll give you an analogy. And I don't know if this ever happened to Tiki Barber, but it happened to me. Sometimes you're out at the bar. And you're trying to meet someone and you identify the person you'd really like to meet. And you go up to that person and you spit some game and she rejects you. I'm a loser. And then immediately there's someone else and you're like, you know what? I'm going to spit some game with this person. And this person's like, here's my number. We should go out next week. You immediately say, you know what? This was pretty good too.
Great.
And that's how it felt about 15 minutes later after they drafted Armand Membu. Because what did I do? I looked at YouTube. I started analyzing. I looked at his size and his girth and what people say about him, because we're talking about an offensive lineman. Then I heard him. I listened to him speak. And he was told, hey, Membu, you had a great year. You only allowed one sack. And he said, no. I didn't allow one sack, you dummy. He didn't say you dummy.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't allow any sacks. And I started to get all hot and bothered. I started to think, oh, okay. I got Fashanu at left tackle. Mm-hmm. I got Membu on the right tackle spot. I got AVT. Hopefully he stays healthy at guard. I got John Simpson, who's solid.
Mm-hmm.
I got myself an offensive line. So Tipman. I was disappointed. And eventually I came around to, I know it's a smart decision. I know if Membu can hit at the next level, which is important, don't become Evan Neal. Mm. Don't become the brick of Shaw Ferguson. Like, you got to play well. If that happens, yeah, the Jets are building a really special offensive line. So I'm not mad, but my initial reaction was the disappointment that I didn't get the number one player.
Well, it's interesting because when you have time, like you have the ability to be patient, as the Jets do, You can take an offensive lineman, and nobody can really be upset about it. By the way, what happened with the one sack that everybody thought that he gave up? Did he give it a reason? It's like, that wasn't on me. That was a game. It was the guards guy. Did he give an answer?
I don't actually want to know the truth. I just love how badass he was. It's right. Like, yeah, no, I didn't allow one.
I allowed no sacks. I don't know what you heard. I don't know what tape you were watching. That wasn't me.
They have a chance to have a really special offensive line. And that's not about this upcoming season with Justin Fields and wanting to run the football. That's about the next 5 seasons. Mm. That's about the next 8 seasons, because you say it all the time. Like, part of why Philadelphia is as special as they are is because they built this awesome offensive line.
Yeah,
and the depth. Jets are trying to do that.
And they had depth. I mean, really, yes. The most important thing is depth, because eventually, as the Giants have seen, unfortunately, for the last multiple years, eventually someone gets hurt. And when someone gets hurt, you're only as good as the guy who comes in and takes his place. And the Giants have not had good enough players coming in to take the place of those guys that have gotten hurt on the offensive line, and it's crushed them. So
you're 1,000%
depth right. Depth is so much more important.
And that's why my attitude towards this draft, I think it's a healthy attitude. I didn't get what I wanted. I'm not crying about it the next day. And I also realize that they probably made the right or a smart decision. I want to say the right decision. I was surprised that Tyler Warren kept dropping.
Yeah.
In fact, there was another tight end, Colston Loveland from Michigan, got picked ahead of him, which I don't know why. I don't get it. But I was scared because when he kept falling and then Miami was on the clock at 13, I had these sick visions that the Dolphins were going to take Tyler Warren, and I was going to have to live in a world in which I didn't get the player I wanted, and now the player's in my division kicking my tuchus. And so luckily that didn't happen. Instead, he ended up with the Indianapolis Colts 1 pick later, and we'll see. You know, we'll find out a couple years from now if the Jets made the right or wrong choice. But it took me about 15 to 18 minutes, Steve, before I was like, all right,
yeah, I'll be
good. I'm okay now.
Good. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Because
proud
of me? Picking offensive linemen, while boring, is actually the smart thing to do, especially if they're good.
No, you're right. Let's get to some of your calls, 888-808-1019. We'll touch on the Knicks coming up at 4 o'clock, their big Game 3 victory, including what could have been the worst ending in the history of basketball. Ben is calling from Brick. How are you today, Benjamin?
Oh, boys, it's good to hear you. Evan, it's good to have you back out of detention.
Thank you very much.
I just, you pretty much hit the nail on the head talking about the Jets. I wanted to call and just say I'm ecstatic with this pick. I mean, we finally have an established young offensive line that I think will be our offensive line for years to come and hopefully be successful. And I think Justin Fields could thrive in this offense now. But really, I want to get Tiki's opinion on this, you know, as a former player, just the Jets' direction, where they're going.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn's attitude behind all this. And just, you know, what you think, Teak, about
what
the Jets are doing. And then,
go ahead.
And then one thing, Evan, I'm actually in D.C. right now getting ready to go to the Met game, and I got a quick question for you.
Yep.
Do I wear a Lee Mazzilli jersey tonight, or do I wear a Darryl Strawberry jersey tonight?
Oh, my goodness. What options? I would probably go Lee Mazzilli just because it's so much more, like, under the radar, if you will. So I think I'd go Lee Mazzilli, but you can't go wrong either way. That's going to be that's a beautiful stadium. Have a great time down there and get us a W.
Appreciate you, Ben. So what do I think about the Jets? I think they are smartly slow playing this. There isn't an urgency to go win right away. Now, could they win right away, especially if they play it smart, meaning we are going to establish run. It's our goal. We're going to lean on a defense, which, by the way, still is full of talent, right? It's not like they all of a sudden, just because they fired their coach, their defense stinks. Defensive coordinator, head coach, and ultimately defensive coordinator who took over for head coach, they still have talent on the defensive side of the ball.
And they're re-adding Jermaine Johnson, which let's not lose sight of how impactful that loss was.
100%. And so they have good talent. They have they're building smartly. And I think just like the Giants, somewhat specifically with their offensive line, because they want to run the football, right? They got 2 very good running backs. Now they have a quarterback who we know he's already rushed for 1,000 yards once in a season, which is hard for quarterbacks to do. You can kind of see what's going to happen here, right? Ground, pound, and then play great defense and win tight games. And look, are they going to win 10 games? I doubt it. But they're not going to lose games because they get blown out by being stupid. So building with an offensive line, that enables that to happen.
I am very excited to see a mobile quarterback. I'm excited to see a guy who's going to take a broken play.
You ever had one?
I mean, Do you consider Mark Sanchez?
No.
Or Geno Smith?
No.
Or Sam Darnold?
No.
Or Zach Wilson?
No.
Look, the one mobile quarterback they did have
Geno might have been somewhat, but not really. He wasn't a, we're going to run QB sweep, right? That wasn't, he wasn't doing that stuff. But he could use his legs to escape a little bit.
The guy that people almost forget actually played for the New York Jets, but he did, is one of the great mobile quarterbacks in the history of football. And that, of course, is Michael Vick. But Michael Vick did it for a very short, brief period of time. And it was the end of his career. So I guess when you ask that question, like, hey, Ev, have you ever had a mobile quarterback? Sure, we had the corpse of Michael Vick. I mean, okay. Tim Tebow as not even the starting quarterback, just as a gadget play. So, no, to answer your question, and I am looking forward to that because in this modern NFL, especially watching guys do it to my team, it is going to be fun to watch Justin Fields. I look forward to it. That's why whenever I bring up drafting a quarterback, whether it's Shador Sanders or even thinking about Jalen Milroe, who could be there in the second round for the Jets, it's not a knock on Fields.
Right.
Because you remember this from a year ago. It started to annoy you because I said it all the time. You could have put me in detention for this. I wanted the Giants to trade for Justin Fields.
Right.
I talked about it a lot. I thought.
And for what he ultimately went for, the Giants should have.
They should have, yes. At the time when I first brought it up, I think the asking price was still like
they wanted a first or a two or a second. Right. Something stupid that was never going to happen.
But I liked Fields enough where I thought, hey, that's a good lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. Bring him in. Let me see what you can do with him. So I'm excited to see him.
All right. You hear what's happening here, boys?
What?
This is like the Giant cast-off opinion.
What's that?
Hey, Giants, you need to go get Justin Fields. Oh, Giants don't want him? Oh, we'll take him, Jets. Hey, well, Giants, you're going to draft Shador Sanders at number 3. Hey, you guys don't want him? Hey, well, come to the Jets.
Well,
what's happening? It's
you're
like
right.
It's like the Mets taking former Yankee players.
Samuel Jets.
Yeah, Evan, you want Darren Waller out of retirement, too?
But think about the circumstances. All this proves is I'm an IFO, because think about the circumstances. When I wanted you guys to trade for Justin Fields, the Jets had Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense for the Jets to be involved in that. Now the Rodgers era ends, it makes complete sense. It didn't make sense because we all thought, including you, Sean, Shador was going in the top 2.
Yeah.
We sat here during the tank discussions and you said, hey, just get me a top 2 pick so I can get a quarterback.
No doubt about it.
One of those two. That's all I want.
Right. So we all assumed for a while until recently, well, Shador's not going to be there at 7. Now he drops into the second round. You guys pass on him. So yeah, my interest in after guys that I wanted for the Giants is because they made more sense for the Giants at a certain point. You guys didn't do it. You made different decisions. And because I'm true to how I feel about the player, I want the player.
Right.
So I'm just proving to you my consistency.
I just wonder, seriously, though, does Shador Sanders and what we thought could be perceived distractions, I know you don't believe it, Evan, don't you think, like, now, wherever he goes, it becomes almost a bigger distraction, the idea of sliding, the chip on the shoulder? Like, some people could view that as a positive, but I wonder if it now just becomes, you know, an even bigger problem where you insert him in there to the plans you had.
Can't two things be true? Can't you and Tommy be right that teams are scared off because they think there's a circus and there's a distraction? Like, they think that. And I'm telling you, my opinion is they're wrong. That if you draft Shador Sanders, and we're going to find out because he's going to be drafted by somebody.
Right.
He's going to go to that team, and I don't think it's going to be the distraction that you guys think teams feel it will be. So that's why, like, I'm not disputing you guys if you think that's what teams are thinking. I'm telling you, just as a guy, I think they're wrong.
Honestly, I think it's a combination. I think a lot, if not all, these teams don't think he can play, and they don't want the distraction with it. Like, it's not worth it. Like, we've seen guys that have come with distractions. What was it? Tunzel, where he had the mask on. And guys get drafted. Guys have quote-unquote bad attitudes, and they get drafted. He was supposed to be the number 2 overall pick. He didn't get drafted in the first round, so it almost feels like media hype. He was hyped up. I think he's going to be great, too, Ev, but like,
there you go.
But he didn't get drafted in the first round. So
they're wrong.
He can play, and they think they don't want the cheer mom, or they don't want the Deion around and the distraction.
And here's
but
what
I don't
I'm
think
saying.
That's going to necessarily happen, because let's not forget, Deion has a day job.
Right.
Deion, he's also got Twitter, though, which he doesn't find. He gives a lot of opinions on there to people that knock us off.
I know the one thing that will not happen, whoever drafts him, they're not going to have, we're chronicling the life of Shador Sanders following you around. Like, that's what happened to Colorado. They chronicled everything about their lives. And I guess it was part of their social policy or social media campaign or
whatever. Yeah, they were trying to grow the brand of Colorado.
They're trying to grow the brand of Colorado. Like, that is just, we've seen what happens with offseason hard knocks for the Giants. We see what happens with regular hard knocks with teams. It's the last thing you want. Because
one Jets drive, though, Teak.
Yeah, but you
just, I don't think the Jets would do that. I agree with Tiki, and I wouldn't advise that they do that.
It just
and
gets really invasive.
I think, and here's the beautiful part. We're all going to get the answer. We're all going to get the answer together because someone's drafting this kid.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be my team, even if I'm suggesting it on the radio. It's just my opinion. I don't think they're going to do it. But we're going to then see, A, can he play? I think he can. And B, is Deion or is the Sanders family really going to be a distraction? And I also say, not going to happen. And we're going to find out.
Should we do a night two prediction? Mark him down? Mark it? Where do we think he goes, Ev?
Cleveland Browns. I'll do it right now. Okay. I got it out of the way. He's going to be a Cleveland Brown. And I'm not sure, to Tiki's point.
It makes sense.
If it happens with his first pick, which would show to me they're not messing around.
Right, like, you 33. Know
what? Because they're in a spot, the Browns, where if they want the quarterback they want, they can get him. Because no one can jump them. They're picking first in the second round, right? So no one can jump them. If they get cute, you risk anybody, not just the Jets, but anybody, saying, hey, we're going to jump you to get that quarterback. And here it could be the other crazy thing. What if the Cleveland Browns do take a quarterback, and Sean, you're right, it isn't even Shador Sanders, it's Jalen Milroe.
Yep.
Then where does Shador Sanders go?
Well, I think that's where we play the game. Tiki, where's he going?
Well, if the Browns don't take him, then I can't see him going past the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay. So,
what's your pick? Who's taking him?
I'm going to say Cleveland. I agree with you, Evan. It's got to be Cleveland.
Right.
I mean, it's Deshaun Watson, who's not playing this year and is likely going to be cut as soon as possible, as soon as they can do it without really crippling. The owner's already said, point blank, we made a mistake, right? This was the horrible deal that we did with Deshaun Watson. Joe Flacco is almost 40 years old, and Kenny Pickett, we know, is backup at best.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to do something at QB if you're the Cleveland Browns. And a second-round pick on a quarterback that fell to the second round? I mean, that's stealing almost.
Yeah.
It's got to be Cleveland.
I'll go further on this, Sean. I think they're going to play the game. I think they're going to take Will Johnson with their first second-round pick.
Mm-hmm, 33.
And they're going to allow teams the possibility of flipping up to get Milroe or Sanders, but they're actually going to get lucky, and they're going to take Shador Sanders with their second-round pick. So I'll be more specific. Shador is a Cleveland Brown, and they do it with their second-round pick. What about you, Sean?
Number 36.
I believe that the Browns will take at number 36 Jalen Milroe. That'll be the first stunner of the night tonight. Mm-hmm. And I believe we get more of a Shador slot. I don't think the Raiders take him. I think Shador Sanders, and this will be the talk all weekend long, goes with pick number 44 to the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Jerry Jones and Deion on the phone. Save me. Save my son,
Jerry.
I'm
trying to think who else. So if it's not the Raiders or the Browns, because the Raiders, I mean, they have Geno Smith. Do they need? He's a future, but Pete Carroll, how long is Pete? You know, it's a weird situation. So I could see them skipping. Patriots don't need him. Browns don't need him. The Saints at 40?
They felt like they were so dismissive of him last night. They hired Nussemeier's father. He comes out next year.
The Saints are a big threat because, remember, the Jets are at 42.
Yeah.
And I've said it, and I'll say it again, if Shador is there at 42, I'm taking him. I think it would be a big mistake to pass on him again. But the Saints at 40, like, look, here's the point. Everybody's already passed on.
Yeah.
So when we go through these teams and we're like, well, they didn't like them the first. No one liked them the first time.
That's true.
Every team in the NFL said no thank you. So someone who drafts him will have already decided the first time we didn't want you. And then eventually, now.
And by the way, that's going to be so weird. It's going to be like you're going to walk in.
Right.
Whatever. Let's say it's the Saints. And did you really need to draft? I forgot who they drafted in the first round. But did you really need to draft that guy instead of not taking me? Type of thing. I could see that. Kelvin Banks. They took an offensive tackle.
They took an offensive line. Yeah, they could say, yes, we want to protect you.
Yeah.
We don't want you taking all those sacks.
There's an intriguing team here, although I know they're working on an extension with Brock Purdy, but Deion has ties to San Francisco. Maybe he could go there, but I'm telling you what's going to happen right now. You could write it down. Evan really wants Shador Sanders. With the 48th overall pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Shador Sanders.
Oh, man.
You're telling me we're freaking passing this guy? Now he's a Dolphin, bro? Is that what you're telling me, Ev? Is that what you're freaking telling me now? We got to watch this guy for 15 years?
It does fit the Jet, we will be screwed card. That's why I thought Tyler Warren was going to Miami, too. I was thinking that last night. All right, so I'm going Browns. You're going Browns. Sean said, "You never did you say a team? Oh, you said the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
And Loogie's going Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
This will be fun. Let's go to Jim, who's calling from Oakdale. How are you today, Jim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All's good, Jim.
Listen, I'm a coach, and the ultimate penalty was to send the kids off during practice. If they're having a lousy practice or whatever, send them in. And it was that would never happen more than once a year because they never make the mistake of having a lousy practice again. But I thought today, you said you having Tim sit out today, that was like the ultimate penalty. I think you guys, the punishment fit the crime, and it was hysterical. It was great.
Thank you, Jim.
I hope you didn't pregame with him.
Thank you, Jim. I just needed to spare all Giant fans the trolling of Evan Roberts for an hour. And to Evan's credit, he's not trolled us, guys. He hasn't come in and tried to make this negative in any way.
I can't troll you because
Abdul Carter is going to be a Pro Bowl Hall of Famer.
It's not even that. It's the fact that I don't know about Jackson Dart. Like, right. It seems like everyone has strong opinions. Like, I give Tommy credit. Tommy was the first one during the college football season, because he watches a lot of college football. Him and Sean do, I respect it, who said, I like Jackson Dart.
You know why? It's very similar to why he loved Tommy DeVito. He sees himself in Jackson Dart.
Is that true, Tommy?
It's so true.
He's got that dog in him. I said it earlier. I appreciate his resume on the field and off the field. And I just like him, man. I just, everything about him. He clicks a lot of Loogie boxes.
He's like, Loogie says, if I was in college and I was a great quarterback, that would be me.
No doubt. I'd be at the Grove at Ole Miss, hottie tie.
I respect that. And I give you credit because I think what happens is sometimes when a team drafts a player, we go one of two ways. Either we hate it just because we're negative, or we hate our own team, or we hate the other team, or we're trolling, or you go the other way. We call it the Morash, where no matter what they do, all right, it's going to work out. I love my team.
That is not what I said today, though, Evan, while you were punished. Not what I said.
I'm sure.
But I feel
it's what you'll say in 2 weeks, that's for sure.
I feel like, Evan, you did slightly troll, and maybe you meant it, maybe you didn't, because you brought up the fact that they pass on Shador, and I was saying this to Sean off air.
Yes.
Jackson Dart and Shador Sanders, their stats are going to be compared for the rest of their careers.
100%.
No doubt.
So
100%.
That, by putting that out there, I thought that was just a little bit of a slight troll.
No, but that's what we're thinking, though.
Here's
what it is. All right, I want to make this very clear. I believe in Shador Sanders, okay? I think he's going to be a good quarterback at the next level. We actually did this last week where I asked everybody, what do you think he is? And I told you what I think he is. Yeah. I think he's between the 10th to 13th best quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
I think he's going to be very efficient. I think he's going to be a solid winner in this league. And I made the point that that kind of quarterback is worth it, even if he's not Pat Mahomes, at 3 or at 7. So I believe in Shador Sanders. I am going to raise my hand, and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have an opinion on Jackson Dart. I have no idea. I barely saw the kid play. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about him. I've read about him just like everyone else has. And even after reading about him and watching tape, I don't know.
Right.
Shador versus Dart, absolutely. Right. And I have confidence in one guy. I don't know about the other guy.
Yeah, the only thing I remember from Jackson Dart last season was a game that they were winning at the end, and he audibled into some bomb. He threw this shot down the field, and then Lane Kiffin cussed him out on the sideline. That's the only thing I remember about Jackson Dart. And in some ways, I was like, you know what? Good for him. That's Jameis Winston calling a dive on the 1 yard line with no time on the clock, basically, when he was with the Saints, right? And he beat the Falcons to give what's his name a touchdown. Not Cedric Benson. What was his name? I forget the running back. He hadn't scored a touchdown all season, so they got him a touchdown on the last game. I kind of appreciated that from Jackson Dart. But that's the only thing I remember from his college career, because Ole Miss wasn't good enough to be paying attention to for most of the year.
Right. So I do agree that what we're going to talk about for the next couple of years, fair or not, and what's going to be judged on Dable and Shane's decision is Jackson Dart versus Shador Sanders. It just is. That's just the reality of it. If Shador is a better NFL career, we're going to sit back and look at this decision and say they screwed up. That's the bottom line.
Jamal Williams, that's who it was.
Oh, that Jamal Williams?
Jamal Williams.
And if Shador ends up with the Jets, that kind of back and forth will be even more fun. Because
right.
They'll both be here for us to watch. Let's go to Pete calling from Seaford. How you doing today,
Pete? What up, Pete?
Hey, guys. What's going on? A few, three quick points on the draft last night. First of all, who do you guys think developed the labyrinth that the guys have to walk through from the green room to the stage?
I don't know, but it is a labyrinth. But it's obviously goodness. It's on purpose, though. They do that so that the buildup takes forever. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you know, you draft the kid. It's not like he's immediately on stage.
Dude, it's a WrestleMania entrance. 100%. That's exactly what it is.
100%.
And do you think at the end of pick 32, Goodell goes immediately into the shower and washes 32 different colognes off of him?
Well, I'm sure he's Pirelling the hell out of his hands every 5 seconds. That's for sure. And,
you know, I don't know if Jackson Dart is going to be an elite NFL quarterback or not, but I can tell you, elite head of hair. His brother had an elite head of hair. Everybody in his viewing party, except for his dad who was bald, had an elite head of hair. And you know what, guys? Maybe an elite head of hair is enough to get by.
Well,
maybe.
Don't you take after your dad?
So what are you trying to say? Are you trying to imply something here?
Isn't your dad an indicator of whether or not you're going to be bald?
It's mom's side of the family.
His entire family has got hair. So what are you saying? Are you trying to trying to start something here?
Yeah, but the dad is bald. Yes. Sean, was your dad bald?
No, my mom's side of the family's bald.
No.
Not my mom, though, just her.
I'll tell you where baldness does not run in the family. My mother's side and my father's side has a lot of baldness. And I'm sitting here at 41 years old, and while I may have a little bit of a receding hairline, maybe a little bit, there's no sign of baldness. So, and the other thing that makes no sense is my entire family is like blind. Everyone wears glasses. For some reason, I got 20/20 vision. So I'm starting to think I'm adopted. I think that's on the starting to think that might be a possibility.
But they're all redheads too, though, right?
Well, my father is, yes.
Yeah,
my
so dad you was. Couldn't my have been adopted.
Was. No, I know I'm not adopted. Right. You know why I know I'm not adopted? And why? I did this to my kids too, and this is going to be disgusting, but I'm just going to be honest.
Your dad has a video of you coming out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen pictures. I've seen videos.
By the way, I did that.
Hey, I know we all do it now.
With my kids, yeah. It's easy. Yeah. You just throw your phone up there. Like, yeah. Hey.
I was like, you think you're adopted? Look at this, son.
Right. And yes, you get to see all of it. Yes, Tommy, it was gross.
Well, I'm just thinking that there's a video of me.
Yeah. No, especially because my wife had a C-section with both of
us. Yes, yes, yes.
So it was a lot of blood.
Yes. Well, but you don't see anything. So I was involved in C-sections as well. And so my experience was I'm next to my wife. I'm holding her hand. I'm like, all right, I'm with you, baby. And then there's a big sheet up. So you don't see what's going on right. On the other side. And then they come over and we're like, hey, you want to see a kid? Here we go. And it's a very cool experience. Fatherhood is amazing, isn't it?
It is.
We'll get back to your phone calls. Jet fans, Giant fans, what should happen tonight? But when we come back, Karl Anthony Towns answered the call, and the NBA almost had the biggest debacle of all time. We'll analyze it all. We'll talk to you at 888-808-1019. A little bit of baseball later on as well. It's Evan and Tiki on this crazy Friday.